Welcome back to the Daily Journey Podcast. I'm Scott Bontier, and I am so glad that you have joined us for another episode. We're putting these out pretty much every Monday, Wednesday, Friday during our quarantine time and COVID-19 pandemic. You know, for me, I started this podcast feeling like it would be helpful if I could hear other people process their journey, their daily journey through such a strange, weird experience. And so here we are. I've invited a guest with me every time just to chat and have a conversation. I always tell them, you bring two questions that you want to ask me, and we have a nice, fun conversation. Thanks for joining us here. Thanks again to Travis Raddatz for providing our theme music. And if you want to subscribe, just search for Jamestown Harbor Church Sermon Podcasts in any podcast app you choose, or go to jamestownharborchurch.org and click on our sermon page and search for the Daily Journey series on there. And we're building up a nice little library of these. And today, my guest is Mr. Mark Eardley. Mark is a guy who's been in my discipleship huddle, which basically met in my house every Monday night for the last year or so. And Mark and Nicole have been part of that journey with us the last year. And Mark's one of those guys that you would just love to have a conversation with. He's kind of a great guy. He's really fun to be around. And Mark and Nicole came to Jamestown Harbor Church when they were kind of looking for a church to go to. And they would tell you the story that one of Mark's criteria was, I'm not going to go to one of those churches that meets in a gymnasium. Not going to go to a church that meets in a school. And I don't know how, but somehow Nicole convinced him to show up at Jamestown Harbor Church, and they've never left. So Nikki has been on the worship team with us, and she's been our kids director for a season. They just had their third child, Camille, 4 months ago. And so she stepped away from staff. But like I said, they've been in our discipleship huddle. They volunteered lots of ways. Mark leads a men's group. And so Mark's conversation with me was really fun. And interestingly, starts off in an interesting place as a guy who doesn't like to be told what to do by the governor. And so we have some interesting conversations about that, and just also about, you know, how this has screwed up some of our habits and our prayer habits and things like that. And I don't know, I loved it. You're gonna love it too. So let me quit yapping and send you on over to my conversation with Mr. Mark Eardley.
I struggled with it early on. Like, I was like, nobody's going to tell me what to do. You know, like,
More about that. Like,
what
do you mean when you say that?
So the first, I remember specifically the first day, like, where it wasn't a reality to me at all.
Right.
It was the first day that it was the first service that we had online.
Oh,
and
sure. Yeah.
You know, at that time we were still encouraging people to get together, but in smaller groups, right? So
right, yeah.
We had breakfast with the Rudies and we watched the service, and we were supposed to do a lunch with my in-laws that afternoon.
Which is usually typical for you guys.
Right, right. Yeah. But this one in particular was a birthday celebration too for Nikki. She has a twin brother, so her brother and her mom. And then, like, I think we were doing, like, the March birthdays too. And so so this one we were actually going to a restaurant. We usually go over to my in-law's house, but we were going to go to a restaurant. And my one sister-in-law is a nurse at a hospital, and she knew of a case, but she couldn't speak about it at that time.
Yeah.
And so she sent us this text about, like, I don't think we should have lunch together. Like, we shouldn't spread it. You know, and I'm like, whatever. Like, I am having lunch with these people. Like, these are people I love, you know, whatever. Well, we ended up canceling, and I struggled with it all day. Like, I was just like, super mad. Like, I'm like,
who are you angry at? Her sister?
So I was a little bit upset because it was like, I was mad at the situation of, like, changing her mind, but I didn't know the backstory. Like, I didn't know that she was exposed to a case, and all she was really trying to do is protect us. Right. Like, I was like, oh, okay. So we find this out later, and it was like, oh, okay, that's a little bit enlightening. But that whole day was like, Nikki, I mean, she, so so let me back up. I think you need to have Nikki on one of these, because you two, like the last, I've been catching up on the podcast, the things you say are the things she's been saying to reel me in, like, constantly on things. Like,
well, then that, like, would be a boring conversation. We're just saying the same things.
Maybe so, but I'll certainly listen to it. Like,
oh, sure. Okay, great.
here's my two people that guide me right here, you know, yeah, my wife, right, and my pastor. So, but no, so it was just like, she said, she's like, we don't know the story yet. Like, we don't know what's all happening here. And so we just need to be respectful of everybody's decisions, and people are just doing the best they can right now. And that was very early on. Right. And so I just didn't really, I think I just didn't want to really believe that it was happening, you know? And so,
interesting. So like, were you like, so you had this one situation where the family member was like that, but it also probably was compounded because we made a church decision too. And you were probably in the camp of like, everybody's overreacting. Scott's an idiot.
No, I would never say that, but I was totally like, so here I am, right? I'm living in a space right now that I'm trying to wrap my head around. People, there's going to be a certain group of people that are not going to want to shake Mark Early's hand or give him a hug, right? Like, that's my future, and that's hard for me to understand, because like, that specific day I was supposed to greet that day, and I remember texting you and saying, Scott, how am I supposed to greet people? Like, how am I supposed to do my job successfully if we're online, you know? Like,
yeah. So, and, which was a funny text to me, but underneath it, Mark was just boiling mad.
Right. So yeah, there was just all that, and it's been compounding. Yeah, it was probably 2 weeks of that I didn't really take it serious, because like, I was still, you know, I was still like sending memes to people, like how silly these rules were and how silly the things people are doing. But like, yes, I very much so still wanted to live my quote unquote normal life, right? Like, yeah. I don't want to be told what I can and can't do. And now here we are, 2 months of being told what to do, and I'm doing a really good job at it. Like, I'm really enjoying it now.
You're like, being told what to do is kind of easy.
Right, exactly. So like, I mean, I just feel like I've taken this mindset of like, you know, this is, you know, like your service, the service this Sunday about like the desert and the green space. Like, we are in our own green space here in Zealand. We're watering it as best we can and really enjoying this green space. Like, yeah. I'm trying to now think like when we do things, it's like every Saturday now we're going to a different nature trail somewhere in Michigan. Like, it's been pretty local, like Holland around here, but like, we weren't doing that before, and we're just doing these nature trails, you know, hikes as a family. And so it's like, instead of being mad at coronavirus, it's like, oh, thank you, coronavirus. We had not done this. You know, like, we wouldn't have been doing this if it weren't for this. We would have been rushing around.
Like, how did that switch from nobody's going to tell me what to do to, I don't know, just tell me what to do and I'll do it?
Yeah. Well, so I've always been a rule follower. Like, it's like, I always have been, but even if I don't like the situation, I'm going to kind of like speak up about how I don't like the situation, like to my wife. Like, yeah, probably not going to like, I'm not going to go storm the Capitol about something, you know?
No, you weren't there.
No, I was not there. I was not at all there. And at that point I was in the boat of, okay, this is difficult, but whatever. We're all just figuring this out, you know? Absolutely not. I'm not a political guy at all. So
no,
like,
sure. Yeah.
I have friends on both sides of the fence, and that's been very difficult of trying to navigate that, where I'm just kind of like, I'm just not going to engage this conversation. You know, I'll just listen to these guys or whatever.
When you say both sides of the fence, what are the sides of the fence on this issue?
Well, so I feel like there's you have two groups, right? You have at least the groups I feel like I've been involved with are the group that's like, we have to follow every single rule and we need to tell everybody what they need to be doing, right? Like, you've recently been talking about all these experts, right? The experts have been driving me nuts. Like, I was standing in line to get pizza at Vitali's in Zealand, and they have, you know, the whole social distancing rules all set up, yeah. 6 feet apart and all that. And a woman on Friday, as I was walking up to my ex, said, "Where's your mask?" And I'm like, well, first of all, that order is not in effect yet until Monday. So yeah. I'm okay. But it was like,
well, immediately you're an expert on it.
Yeah. Like, I'm like, right. Exactly. Like, I'm like, well, okay. I'm, you know, but it's just like, okay. I don't know. Like, I'm so very
of the mind. Here's my point. Like I said, like, what are the sides like of the fence?
Yeah.
And you know, one side is, I'll guess, say freedom, liberty, economy is sure, one side.
Absolutely.
And, but then the other side, the way you just characterized it, is following rules, right? Like there's all these rules and I got to follow rules, right? And so here's my big issue with that is this isn't about rules.
Right.
You know,
right.
But we have turned it in. This has been my experience too, is people like, because I internally do this. You do this. I do this. Yeah. Nikki, that we all do this. But there's a moment of choice somewhere, like whether it's about a mask or a 6 feet apart, or am I going to go to this place, or am I going to go to that place, or do this thing, where we say, I know that's the rule, but I just feel like that doesn't matter to me.
Right.
Right. Right. Like I feel like I want something, or I should be able to, just because I want it. I have a desire, so therefore, I'm going to take this rule. I'm going to move it over here. That rule might be for other people, and you start to rationalize who that rule is really for, right?
Right.
And like the thing that I've really become aware of this week is this isn't about rules. This is about public health and safety.
Right. Absolutely. Right?
But we're treating it as it's a rules issue, not a health issue. And I wonder how we might engage it differently if we were like, oh, this is a health issue. Like, this isn't a rule for rule's sake. This isn't a rule to take away your liberty to drive wherever you want, which is a privilege, not a right in the first place, right? But it's not about rules. It's about how do we create it's more than that. It's how are we good news to our community? Right. Like, what does it mean to be good news right now?
Yeah.
Right? It is. What does it mean to be hospitable right now? Well, it's not shaking hands. It's wearing a mask. It's that's what hospitality is right now. And it's a very different way to look at it, I think.
Yep. Yep.
But we just tend to think it's rules.
I agree.
I hate rules.
And that's where I feel like I've flipped in the sense of like, it was at first, I was like, oh, I'm not going to follow these rules, you know? And then I was like, okay, I'm going to, like, because this is for the greater good of everybody. Like
your brain went, oh, this is for the betterment of other people.
Right. I don't like it, but I understand that this is what has to happen. And so it's just been, you know, it feels like it's been 2 months of just navigating that. And then at the same time, you know, keeping my positive attitude around the house and keeping the kids happy and not so like concerned about, you know, what the future brings and all that. So it's just, I don't know. It's been wild, but
yeah, that's an interesting, I mean, I appreciate you sharing like the internal like switch in that, because I feel like that's something a lot of us struggle with, like
to go
all in on saying, all right, I guess I'm going to allow myself to be told what to do.
However
I feel about that and all that kind of thing. But it's not always easy for a lot of us. And we've had, like, this particular week, we've had conversations around what does it mean to have church again? And what does that look like? You know, which, dude, you're all for, you're ready. You want to go greet at the door, right?
Oh, I want to hug everybody, dude.
Okay. Well, you're the reason why we can't do this.
I know. Exactly. Exactly. And so then I'm like, I'm part of the problem. Like, I don't want to be part of the problem.
The one of the things we've been talking about, or at least the thing that I've been observing, is to say, like, okay, there's going to be a time where the rule is you can have a church worship service again, and that might be accompanied with a certain size dynamic, right? Like, it's okay to gather in large groups again.
Right.
Frankly, I don't believe that's going to be true for a really long time, but but I'm not an expert, so I don't know. Right. But there's going to be a time where they say you can be in a large group again, but there's also going to be a caveat, which is if you can practice safe social distancing. And what that right. does is it makes the decision for better or for worse on me. It doesn't, yep. I am no longer able to say, well, the government said we could, or the government said we can't. They're yep. going to put it on me to figure out how to do social distancing in your church service, right?
Yeah.
And so I'm going to sit here and go, I'm not sure how we do social distancing on a logistics team. I'm not sure how we do social distancing in a nursery or a kids ministry. I'm not sure how Mark Stinkin' Erdley is able to do social distancing when he sees all the people he loves again.
Yeah, I'll be doing a lot of bowing.
Oh my gosh, that would be amazing. That's our new greeting. Mark, you're a yes. genius.
Well, I can't take all the credit for that. My father-in-law came up with that idea. But yes.
Oh my gosh, that's so great. Yeah. But here's totally what I anticipate is that government order changes, we're going to decide not to be in a public worship space because yeah. I can't figure out how to do those things. Right. And right. You're going to get frustrated with that. Somebody's right. going to get frustrated with that. And yeah. Lots of people are going to say, well, why can't we? Because church down the street is right.
Yeah.
Or someone, and however they're figuring that out. And I think our response has to be a little bit different. Because I think it has to be like, listen, how are we going to be good news to our community?
Sure.
Right now, that means we don't put 400 people in a room.
Yeah.
That's how we be good news. And you know what? To be good news to our community means sometimes we have to say, this is not about us. And I know we want to be together. And I know we want to have our Sunday morning thing. And I know we want to have that like we used to have it. And it feels better to do that than it does to not.
Right.
But we're going to have to be people who say, this is not about us. This is for people who are at risk. This is for people in our community and all that kind of stuff. So, but it's tough because you're just going to have enough of this, exactly the journey you've been on. And that's not cut and dry, black or white. It's hard.
Right. Exactly.
But the big learning out of this is we can now bow towards each other.
We can just bow. Yeah.
Oh my exactly. God. It's so
funny. It's you know so... what though? Like the other thing, like I'm constantly trying to appreciate things from it. Like this opportunity for us to Zoom, right? Like
yeah.
as some of us feel so disconnected, I have connected with people more that I hadn't connected with before because of this kind of stuff. Like I'm checking in with people like cousins that I hadn't talked to in a while. Like,
yeah.
You know, just things that like, I feel like our men's group has had a few newer guys join us that I don't know if they would have done that before. Maybe it was because it was the personal setting and we were getting together face to face and now they feel more comfortable on the phone, or if it's just given the circumstances they need something, you know, I don't know. But like, I still try to find the reasons and be grateful because, I mean, think if this, I saw a meme last night that was like, think if this happened 20 years ago and you had your Nokia 3310 with, you know, like with only 300 text messages or whatever, like you never survived this thing because of it. It's like, so thank goodness for technology has gotten us here because we can at least still be connected, right? It's not obviously not the way we want to be, but at least we are and we can have these conversations. So,
I mean, for those of us in a situation like you and like me, this is not hard.
Yeah. No, it's not. I'm working from home. It's actually, so I work in freight, right? So like freight is it's kind of been up and down, but I've been in the right business during this because we're delivering a lot of food to a lot of different places. So, you know, I'm certainly busy. And then at the same time, like I'm having breakfast every day with my family. Having coffee. We have a specific coffee hour where like I work for a couple hours in the morning and I shut it down and we just sit and watch the kids play and I can chat, you know? So like,
oh, that's smart. Yeah.
None of that stuff would have been happening if it weren't for this. So it's just trying to be grateful for that kind of stuff. And,
well, and I think that's the big difference. You know, go back to our conversation about this is more about rules than it is about like health and safety.
Right.
For people like you and me, it's really, really easy to make this about rules because we don't know anybody who's being harmed by
this. I'm still getting really, paycheck.
Right? Yeah. Like people around me are still getting paychecks. Like I know there are plenty of people who aren't too, and I'm aware of that, but and I'm connected to some of those people, but I don't know someone who's sick with this. I don't know someone who's died from this, you know.
Right.
People in Hudsonville and Zeeland aren't experiencing what people in Wayne County and New York City are experiencing. And right. if they were, and if or when we are experiencing that, suddenly we'll take it a lot more seriously. And it's hard to fault people for that. That's natural. That's normal. Like, and right. you're putting up all these restrictions. And I don't mean like legal restrictions. I mean like where I can stand, what I can touch, you right. know, face mask I wear. And I don't really like, there's no immediate threat. It seems like that's right. the toughest part of this thing for people, I think.
Yep. Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I mean, your kids don't know any different, you know, how old
they don't.
She's five.
She's 4.5.
Yeah.
She is Lucy's wildly smart. We haven't really talked specifically to her. I mean, we had to tell her, you know, that school was shut down and she's going to be doing school from home. She has said some things that just blow my mind nowadays. Like, I mean, one day she was coughing cause she had a dry throat, not cause she was sick or anything. And she's like, "Oh dad, I hope this isn't the coronavirus." And I'm like, "Whoa, what? You know, like where did that come from?" You know? And then the other day,
I hope your response to her was just, "Yeah, I hope so too."
Yeah. Right. Actually, no, my stomach kind of sank and I'm like, "Oh my gosh, don't make me worry about that. You know, don't make me think like that right now." But, and then she just is like, she caught wind of like, you know, things starting to open. And, my in-laws don't live far from us. And we were telling her that, they were going back to work this week. And she goes, "Wait, so the coronavirus isn't in Oma's work anymore because she gets to go back to work this week, you know?" And like, it's just like things like that. You're like, no, it's not how it works. But like their little minds, like, oh, the coronavirus must not be there because now they're doing their normal thing, you know, whatever.
That's a crazy thing for a 4.5-year-old to put.
Right? Exactly. And it's like, we haven't said any of that stuff to her, you know? So like, I don't know. It's been super fun though. We've had a lot of fun with the kids here.
Maverick. If Lucy's that smart, you should engage her. She might have a tip on what the vaccine needs to look like.
Right. Right. Exactly. But yeah, so it's just, they're young enough still that it feels like we're just,
every other
we're just
day
soaking up.
Yeah.
Yep. And we're soaking up the family time as much as possible. The slowed down, you know, dad's home all the time. And, there was a little bit of struggle at first with the whole work schedules and trying to figure out like, dad's on the phone on a sales call
now. Yeah.
Right. But you know what? Sales calls has made them really fun because all of a sudden, you know, you'll hear Mav say like, "What you doing, daddy?" And the guy that I'm talking to on the other end is like, "Who's that?" And also it makes the call more personable. Yeah. Right. that's my assistant getting me coffee, you know, whatever. it's like, now I'm relatable to this guy. Right. Like, so it's like, you just like, okay, whatever. Like everybody's dealing with this in the country. So it's not like it's a shock for that guy on the other end of the line to hear people talking in the background. So it's been all good. So,
but I tell you, there's going to be a great grandparent experience when this is all over, where everybody knocks on the grandparent's door and be like, "You know, these kids you haven't seen in 3 months, they're yours now."
for sure. Yes.
Well, talk to me about the questions you brought for me today.
Yes.
The dude who's done the most homework on this podcast.
Well, so I want, you know, I didn't want to have repeat questions. So and truthfully, I think you keep downplaying this thing like, "Oh, I only have 3 listeners, you know, this and that." Like, that might be true, but I think you're onto something with this, because every time I've listened to, so I've listened to all of them now.
Yeah.
Everybody has had a thought or feeling that I've had during this experience.
Sure. Yeah.
Which
is
just, you know, and if this thing, wherever this podcast goes, like, I think it's very relatable. I think maybe it's because it's people in our community or whatever, but like, I've loved it. So I think you're on to something and you're clearly getting better. I like the intro music now. Like, I feel like you need to get a guy with a deep voice, you know, like, "Welcome to the Daily Podcast," you know, whatever. Like, probably Kyle Rudy's voice would be good for that. But
actually, I probably would. I'll hold open auditions, whoever wants to submit a track.
It's been really cool to see this thing evolve. And so I was listening very intently to make sure I wasn't going to ask repeat questions. So,
here we go. Filled up your weekend.
Yeah. I did, actually.
Well, listen, Mark, I just want you to know that you have now set the bar so high for whoever is listening to this right now.
Right, right.
That your question out of the gate has got to be such a good one.
Okay. So I recently had the privilege of being in a huddle with you and Cindy and a couple other folks. And probably the last huddle you were a part of before – and obviously me. So we talked about a lot of different concepts in that. And one of the ones that we talked about was the pendulum, the rest from work idea. And
work from rest.
Work from rest. Yes. Yeah. I'm reading my notes backwards here. So I'm curious because my work from rest habits have certainly changed during this working from home.
Sure.
How have your habits changed, if they have? And how are you kind of dealing with all that right now?
Yeah, that's a great question. My work from rest rhythms are wildly out of place at the moment. So the idea behind work from rest is simply the idea that when God created us, he gave us a huge job description, right? Subdue the planet, name all the animals, be fruitful, multiply, like... that's your job description. And then the very first item on the job description was take the day off, right?
Right.
That was day six. And day seven, he's like, you need the Sabbath. And what we intuit out of that is the idea that our first response to God is to rest, is to allow him to work and to trust him. And then after rest, which might not be sleeping or napping, though that's amazing. it's you know, really removing pressure of to do and all that kind of stuff. After that, we step into what he's already doing. It's why the Hebrews think of a day beginning at sundown, right? There was night and then there was day, and that was the first day, right? Which is not how we talk about it because we think the opposite. So prior to this, I think my habits tended to be, I'm pretty particular around like Sabbath in a week, which for me is not Sunday. Sunday is like the most work I do in the week. Right. I'm exhausted on Sunday. And so Saturdays and Fridays, like one of those days, I try to be more of a do stuff, get stuff done around the house, that sort of thing. Another one of those days, I try to be a little more slower, present, reflective. If I can get some silence and solitude time somewhere else outside of the house, that's great. Spend time with friends, things like that. And on those days, I'm not looking at my email. I'm actually pretty good at not doing that. If you're texting me about kind of work stuff that doesn't feel like an emergency, I probably won't respond back, you know, like things like that. Yeah. I'll turn off my phone and all that kind of stuff. So I had been pretty good about that. And then a friend of mine had always said, you know, when you're at work, be at work. Be 100% at work. So that way when you're home, you can be 100% at home. And then if you're 100% when you're at home, then you can be 100% at work, right? So he's like, basically like give yourself to those spaces so that when you're not there, you don't take it with you. And I'm also pretty okay with that. It's hard with my work. It's always, I'm thinking, you know, what do I do about this thing? I'll talk through it with Cindy, things like that. But this has been a whole other thing for me because you're at work and you're at home. I can't leave anywhere. The schedule is a little bit different. So and you might experience this with like sales calls and stuff too. Like I've got a morning full of meetings and then I've got like a meeting at like, for me, like 5:30, 6 o'clock, something like that. You know, some days it's like, if I got a couple hours, that's a good time to get other stuff done for work. Right.
Right.
Now I might not have that stuff. And now I just walk upstairs and there's my family.
Right.
So it just crosses the boundaries so often. And then especially early on, there was a lot of conversation all weekend long about the Sunday service and about this sort of stuff. And, you know, guys who are filming their sermons on Saturdays and things like that. And man, I've tried really hard to re-establish those boundaries as much as I can. recognizing also, well, Sunday doesn't kill me as much anymore. So that's good.
Right.
You know, like, I love Sundays right now.
Yeah.
Except for missing you, you know, I don't get to
right,
see you.
Right, of course.
It's weird to feel like a sermon or a Sunday service is just out in the ether and I didn't experience it with everybody. That's weird.
Right, right.
And I've also, dude, I've been staying up so late, like 12:30, 1 o'clock, watching yeah. a movie, watching TV, really, basically. And before it was like, we'd have huddle, that would end at like 9, 10 o'clock, I'm in bed, you know.
Right.
6 o'clock, I'm up. That's been not good for me.
Right.
The biggest part of that is also I can't run or bike right now because I injured my knee. And dude, today I woke up really sad about that. But that's been like, that has helped me put rhythms in my life of like, I got to do that in the morning, otherwise I'm not going to do it. So.
Right.
So, yeah, I feel like that stuff is really important. And I feel like when stuff changes in your life, your rhythms get out of whack really, really quickly. And that's one of the reasons why I try hard to pay attention to them. And I've just given myself the freedom to not be like, I don't know, tomorrow's going to be the same thing as this day. So why do I try to do it today? But like, I have to imagine for you, it's different because your kids are at an age where rhythms like are so important. Mine aren't, you know, like we could do whatever we want. They're fine.
Right. Yeah. So that's where like it's been a struggle for me because previously, right, I would go into work at, I'd leave at like 6 a.m. and then I wasn't home till 4:30, 5 o'clock.
Yeah.
And Nikki had the full show here at home with all three kids. And so now, it's thrown off my rhythm in the sense because I'm the same way. I'll go downstairs and make a few sales calls or I got to, you know, work with drivers on something or whatever. And then I come up and then dad's here and he's ready to make breakfast or why isn't he playing with us? You know, whatever. And so like,
does your presence really throw them off in terms of like, well, when he's home, it's playtime with him.
I think so. I think Nikki does an excellent job at corralling them, if you will. Like she's keeping them very busy. Lucy, she gets Lucy in on activities where she's coloring or whatever. And when Lucy gets into whatever her alone time is, like she's hyper focused on it. And so that's really a good opportunity for me to continue to work. But the problem is like, and maybe it's not a problem, I don't know, but I find a lot of rest in watching Lucy color. Like I find a lot of rest in watching her develop. Right. And so when I see her doing this stuff, I come upstairs for, you know, to get a glass of water or whatever. And I want to get engaged in that. You know, so like, it's like you said, it's constantly crossing this line of rest from work and you're both things are just on top of each other. And then the other difficult thing is like, yeah, my computer is downstairs. Like, yeah, I get email and all that out of my phone. I do try to do my best to ignore that, but like, I will stay up or I might go downstairs and work from like I do a lot of proposals. So like I might go work on my pricing proposals from like 7 to 10 at night sometimes. Whereas that used to be my time where Nikki and I would just sit and talk or we'd watch shows or whatever. And now it's like, oh, I don't have to do this during the day right now because I can do this later tonight. My computer's right downstairs.
Like, so it's like, there's no boundary here. I can do this whenever I want. It doesn't really matter.
Right. So
do you feel like that's been not healthy for you?
I don't know. I would say no, it's not healthy because it's certainly thrown off that rhythm. And then to your point too, like, okay, so I stay up and do this proposal till 9:30, 10 o'clock. And then I want to go watch a show because I still want to have my rest time, you know, whatever. So now I'm staying up late, like you're saying, and I'm watching a show or whatever. So I wouldn't say it's healthy. I would say I appreciated where I was before all this with, you know, with my work from rest, because I think we got into a pretty good rhythm of it all.
Well, you had changed jobs and so you had to like establish those rhythms and like in the new job kind of thing. And
right.
You felt like you were in a good spot. And then now it's kind of out the window a little bit.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Out the window. And
same boat.
Yeah. Yeah. So it's all good. Like I said, we're figuring this all out as we go and we're appreciating everything. But I was just curious because I think everybody's kind of in this massive change if they were following this work from rest idea. Like it's just different, and I don't know. It's all good.
Do you think it makes it impossible for us to do that in this situation, or is it just that we haven't spent long enough in it to work it out?
Exactly. Yeah. I think the word that comes to me is discipline. Like, I just don't think I've done it long enough to figure out the discipline side of like what actually has to be done.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
I think I'm kind of ignoring that because I'm like, well, this
it'll
is
end soon, think, right?
Yeah, yeah. Exactly. Yeah. Like, I'm not trying to fully engage it because because not only are we appreciating everything, but there are parts of us that are kind of like, okay, this will be done soon and we'll be back to normal. Like, we're going to be doing our normal thing. So like, I don't know. Maybe I
got bad news for you, Mark.
I don't think
that's the case. I don't think that's the case.
The worst thing you can do for somebody like me is keep putting like a expected end date of this, right? Like, when it was like, this is going to be done at Easter. I'm like, oh yeah, no problem. Two more weeks. You know, and also it's like, yeah. Okay, we're extending this to May 1st. Oh, okay, we're gonna, like, you can't
maybe
do that.
May 15 like, now. I don't know, June?
Yeah. I'm just now getting to that point where I'm just like, okay, I'm gonna stop listening to what end dates people are putting on this and just go with it, you know? So,
I mean, that's probably one of the things that's been helpful for me the most.
Is, yeah.
Well, for me, it switched, like, that scenario switched for me when I was talking with somebody in the school system. And initially, like, what they had communicated to us about, like, renting the school is, they're probably not going to be doing any rentals till June, right?
Right.
And then I was like, okay. And that was April. So that was right at the beginning of April, spring break time kind of thing. I'm like, all right, like, six more weeks of this or whatever. It's not that big a deal. But then I was talking to somebody, and they're like, they kind of said the same thing, but they put a day on. They said June 30th. Which for me was very different than how I was thinking of quote unquote June.
Right.
I'm like, oh, the end.
All of it.
Oh. And so that all of a sudden turned 6 weeks into more like 3 months. And you went, oh, that's a different frame of mind. And I just immediately, and then I also heard somebody say, and again, this is all we're doing right now. I heard somebody say.
Right. Absolutely. And, yeah.
but at least it framed something for me. It was somebody who, was talking about me doing a wedding with them, and I think she worked in the healthcare industry, and she's like, we're just moving our wedding to a year from now because we don't, like, I don't know if we'll be able to be in groups of 50 before 2021, you know, right. Like things like that. And I went, oh, so I just, like, early on, like, I kind of made the shift to go, this is just going to be like a whole year, you know, and
right
but like to keep going 2 weeks at a time, like you have been, it's crazy making.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it doesn't allow you to figure out the discipline.
Right.
Right. All the people who are like entrepreneurs or self-employed work from home, people are screaming at their iPhone right now going, there's easy ways to figure this out. You guys right. You got to build these.
You know? For sure.
But listen, man, I think everybody's situation is like so unique. That's the one thing I've learned is that, you know, you've got Camille and Maverick and Lucy, and they're all under 5, you know. Yep. And that's so different than me and Cindy, who have Isaac and Jonah, who are just about 14 and 13, you know. Right. And that's different than people who've got college kids who are living at home, or who are empty nesters, or, you know, whose kids don't get along, or people who don't, you know, like, I know a couple of different people who are at the very beginning stages of divorce proceedings in their marriage. Right. And now they are in a home quarantined with that person.
Yeah.
And for some of them, it's not emotionally safe. Some of them don't feel physically safe, right?
Sure. Like,
everybody's situation is so different.
Yep. Yeah. Yeah. Okay.
All right. Question number two then, buddy. What do you got?
Two. That was a good one. So I prepared, I actually had 3 questions. So I'm going to give you 2 that you can
pick from.
Oh, yeah, you can pick from. Yeah. Part of it's in that same vein of work from rest. And then the other part is another huddle concept, which by the way, I just want to say thank you for inviting me to huddle, because if it weren't for that, I wouldn't be thinking along these lines during all of this. So there's my plug.
You'd still be mad at me for closing the church.
I'd still be so mad at you. Exactly. So thank you.
So Mark wants to be on record.
Yes. Yes.
My pleasure, no, dude.
It's been the type of thinking that I've needed through this to really, you know, power through. So,
yeah.
So first question, and then you can pick the other one. So first one, you mentioned a couple times in your podcast, you're spending Sundays now with your family, right? This is also kind of works into that whole work from rest idea. What's that been like? And are you able to shut off critiquing, your message, how things are operating, not just with you, but with, you know, Ben's delivery messages, Abby's on it, like staff has been on, right? Eric's mm-hmm. been on, like, are you actually enjoying it, like getting something from it, or are you just sitting there working like, oh, we need to be doing this differently, we need to be doing that differently?
Sure, yeah, yeah.
And then the other one is the other huddle idea. We talk about the hexagon and the Lord's Prayer. Has your praying changed during this time?
Those are two good questions. I'm not sure what I want. I'll answer them both. One quicker than the other. I think there are parts of my prayer that have become more intentional and parts of my prayer that are not happening now at all. Yeah. And I'm going to answer that one because I feel like it's a continuation of your first one. Because I don't feel like my personal prayer habits over the last month have been great at all. I think they were the month before.
Right. When we got out of the huddle. Like, yeah.
Well, but even like when we started in this quarantine, it was like, all right, I got this space to do this thing. And, you know, like, I think it goes back to, I haven't quite figured out the right rhythms yet. And I have some meetings that are too early and I'm staying up too late. And, you know, I'm almost done working on my basement. And like, I'm just drawn to that more quickly than I am. I'm going to pick up a paintbrush before I do some other stuff. And so I feel like I'm still walking through the murkiness of what my good discipline and rhythms are. And so I'm lamenting right now that I'm not engaging my prayer rhythms well. But when I am, I feel like I'm a little more intentional about like names of other people that I have on my heart and I'm praying. And provision, you know, like give us this day our daily bread and like things like that. So that's a 2.5.
Perfect. Love it.
But I also think it's, you know, like to pull back the curtain a little bit on how the Sunday service thing goes. It's good because there's conversation points with my family and that's where I get the most out of it.
Okay.
Right? I'm not sitting there watching me deliver a sermon going, oh, interesting. Okay. I do hate watching myself. That's really hard for me. It's worse to listen to myself. Cindy like will put on this podcast and won't use headphones. And I'm like, oh, please stop. You're killing me. And so now what we do too, like I hadn't had, it was really until Easter where I was just seeing it for the first time all put together on Sunday. Partly because I wasn't going to badger Eric. He's the one who edits together. I wasn't going to badger him all weekend long. Be like, is it done yet? Like, I don't know how long it's taken him, but we've found ourselves in a rhythm now where most of our stuff is shot like on a Wednesday or a Thursday. So he can edit, you know, on a Thursday and still have like his weekend and a Sabbath day and things like that too. Right.
Gotcha.
But now I noticed something like our Easter service, we had a couple of different parts in it. And when I saw it for the first time on Easter Sunday, I went, the parts that we opened with should have been the second parts of the service. And the second part of the service should have been the thing that we opened with. Like the flow of the service should have been rearranged.
Sure.
And I didn't know that because on paper it made sense.
Right.
When you see it put together. So now I say, hey, once you get your first edit done, like send me the link so I can watch it and we can. So all that to say on Sunday morning is I'm not spending time critiquing it because I've already done that. You know,
like
I've already watched Abby's part or Gina's part or Ben's part or something like that. And if I want them to do something different, I'll ask them to re-record it.
Yeah. Right.
Which is like the benefit we have right now. I recorded the sermon for this last week three different times.
Right.
For
you don't get that on reasons. Sunday. If you screw up on Sunday, you screw up, right?
Yeah. No. But I'm also so like I do I get stuff out of it? Like, yeah, of course. I've sort of living in that concept all week long.
Yeah.
And it's working on me. I mean, my sermons, like when I preach, I've always said this. Like comedians have a phrase where they talk about someone's a hack, or they talk about someone telling a hacky joke. And a hacky joke is simply something that anybody could tell. It doesn't have say anything about your perspective on the world, your experiences. It doesn't connect to you at all. It's just a, here's a one-liner that any Mark Eardley could deliver it, or I could deliver it. I think that's true in preaching. I think that there is a sermon on any particular scripture that anybody could give. Mark, you could give a sermon on the scripture I preached this last week. And you could go, well, the things I know about, I've heard enough about the scripture, so I know that this is true and this is true and this is true. So I'm going to share that. Yep. I've always tried to say the better sermon is the sermon that only I can preach, because this is my experience with that text or with this concept. This is my wrestling with it. This is my own personal kind of like insight to it or aha that matters to me. And whether that's quote unquote smart, using enough big Hebrew words or not, like
right.
The point, the better sermon is the one only I can preach. Mark's best sermons would be only sermons you could preach.
Right.
And are anybody's are. And so when I tell people that, I said, like, don't just preach the sermon. Anybody can preach this topic this way. What's your sermon on it? And so for that reason, they're always working on me, man. Like preaching sermons does for me, I think, what listening to sermons probably does for you, you know?
Right, right.
And I actually miss that. I really miss preaching. Like today I woke up, I'm like, do I know how to preach anymore? Really? Like shooting a video is good. It's not bad, but it's different, you know?
Yeah.
And I kind of miss the other of it.
Does it feel like less authentic with video because you have opportunities to re-record?
It feels less connective.
Okay.
It feels like I'm putting out like content.
Yeah.
This was the first week that nobody sent me a text about anything.
Oh, and really?
Yeah, because typically someone will be like, oh, thanks for this, or here's a screenshot of your stupid face on my TV or whatever it is. even that. But like when I'm in a church service and I'm with you, it's connective. I can see your face. You can see mine. I watch you check your phone and I know I'm boring you to tears. Like people think I can't see that, dude. I mean, I'm standing in front of you. I can see it all. Right.
Right. Right.
But like there's a connection that happens. And that's the more important thing for me is my goal is not to stand up and give you amazing content. If it were, the video format would work just as well for me internally.
For sure.
Right? Yep. 'Cause that's what it feels like I'm doing a little bit, is like, here's some content. But I'm trying to stay in the mindset of, I want to help you have a conversation internally or externally. And so that's why I'll say, pause the video and journal this or ask a question. And I'm hoping I'm getting connected to you that way. At least you're feeling it. And But I'm not.
Right.
Yeah, that's harder.
Sure.
The only way I can do that is to think, what would somebody be going through that I could help them process a question with?
Right.
So yeah, I miss that of it.
Yeah.
But yeah, I'm a big critiquer of Sunday stuff. Like it's hard not to be. I've been working in churches for over 20 years now, probably. And it's really hard to go, well, I would do it like this. And why'd they do that? And so I don't tend to watch a lot of other people's stuff either.
That was going to kind of be a follow up. Yeah. Like, are you watching other things or not? So no.
Right now it's too accessible and it's like, oh, well I should steal that. Or, ooh, they did it worse than I did. I don't like that. I don't like doing that. So
yeah. Yeah.
If we have tweaks we make, I'll make them before Sunday. So I'm not feeling that, but it's better to engage it. So how has engaging an online Sunday service been for you, a guy who's not in my mindset?
So at first, like, you know, I didn't want to do it because it felt like, oh, we this isn't what we're supposed to be doing. But over, you know, the last 8-10 weeks or whatever it's been, I've really enjoyed it. It's been a little bit difficult because we do have younger kids. And so
sure,
trying to like get them to either play, you know, or like I've certainly missed parts of the message because we're preoccupied with, you know, Mav not putting a crayon up his nose or whatever, like, you know,
but it's also one of the reasons I'm trying to keep those things shorter than usual too, right? Like,
that's fine too. Yeah.
Reach for 35 minutes doesn't make sense in this format, you know?
Right. But I can also rewind. Like, you know, like that's the nice thing. I can rewind and like, oh, wait, what did he say there? Or like, you know, I can go back and like just re-listen to it. So, we have been really good. So we like, what is it called? Aircast or whatever for my phone. So I'm not using my phone. I don't have any distraction because I can't. It's casting up onto my TV from my phone. So like that's at first was trying to turn off the distractions because you're just sitting on the couch. It was really hard. It was really easy to get into distractions. Now we are fully like we've really heeded that advice at the beginning. Like we are fully present.
Yeah.
We are talking about it.
It makes a difference, doesn't it? Right.
It does. Oh, it absolutely does. And like we've hit pause and we've talked about things, and that's something that Nikki and I would do on our way home, you know, from when we were going to church.
I appreciate that you wouldn't do it during the middle of my sermon. Right,
exactly.
I don't necessarily mind it, but I appreciate that you're paying attention.
Right. But, and I'm like the type of person, like when I have a question, I have to ask it right away. Otherwise I'm going to forget what I wanted to ask. Right. So like, that's actually been kind of nice. Like, okay, yes, I'm ready to ask this question. I'm ready to dive into this. So, that's been great. I have a terrible voice, so I have just been listening to worship.
Yeah.
Nikki has a beautiful voice. So I've loved that side of it because I get to listen to my wife sing right there. You know, I get my own one-on-one concert. So
here's what I learned this week about this. Like, the situations in which most of us will sing out loud are either when we're alone in our car, right? Mm-hmm. Or when we're a group of people where we can't hear ourselves.
Yeah. But
the presence of like one or two other people can make it really awkward for those of us who like don't sing together usually, right?
Right.
So, like, you're normal.
Yep. Perfect. Cool. But we've really dove into like just that whole idea of just being present and discussing things. So it's been great. I mean, I think you guys, it's been cool to see. So going back to my critiquing idea, it was clear to me that you have been, because it's just, you can see it evolving and each service seems like it's getting better and better and just like smoother. And you're like, okay, yep, they got this thing dialed in. And you know, you've talked about home church and some of your other podcasts, like, you're going to want to have that dialed in for whatever this future is. Right. So kudos to you guys for, you know, being flexible on a whim. I mean, or not on a whim, but just being flexible that fast to get it going. And I think it's doing a great job. So,
well, that's the opportunity we have. Like, it's I mean, that's how innovation happens, is you build some empathy for a particular need. And this moment, the need is so very clear that it's not hard to figure out what it is. And then you create a hypothesis of how you might fix it. And then you try something, you rapidly prototype it.
Right.
And like with a medium like this, like you can just go like, all right, well, let's try this week. And I've been impressed with so many people to give us enough grace to say like, well, everybody knows we're not trying to be like professional video content, you know, like think about it this way. I don't know if you ever watched Saturday Night Live.
Oh yeah.
So they just, I think this week they put out their second episode that was totally, completely filmed in cast members' homes, right? On their phones and their laptops. And so it's Saturday Night Live at home. You know, they've done it 2 weeks. And it's not great, dude. It's not great, right? it is, you know, you're missing a lot. But they're doing their best. And someone had said this to me. He's like, listen, man. It took Saturday Night Live 4 weeks before they put out content like that.
Yeah.
And that's their job. They are like, they are the 90s Chicago Bulls of like video, like screen content for what they do. They're the best at it. And it's taken them that long to figure this out. Like, don't beat yourself up because your video content doesn't look as amazing as you would like it to, you know?
Right.
So I've just sort of embraced the thing of like, that's good enough for this week, and we'll try something, you know, next week. And
Yeah. I seriously feel like 2020's motto should just be, we did our best. We're trying our best.
Yes,
you know, that needs to be what we need to remember here, because that's what we're all doing. And I think that's what's going to get us all through it, is just the grace and understanding that everybody's trying. So
wise words from Mark Eardley. Thanks for being on the podcast today, man.
There you go.
I appreciate it.
I really appreciate you having me on. I was so pumped about this. This is my first podcast. So I was super pumped about it.
Oh, man.
And I'm going to make everybody listen to it now.
Somebody has figured out my secret sauce to enlarging the listenership. All right, man. Well, thank you. I appreciate you being here. Have a good one.
No problem. Appreciate it, buddy. Talk to you later.